Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, The Secret of Abiding Joy. Now, if you walk with the Lord any length of time, you know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that right? And unfortunately, we are dealing with a spiritual adversary, a foe that does everything he can to attack our joy. If in fact, and it is true, the joy of the Lord is our strength, spiritually as even physically, those of you who have moved under the anointing, you know that regardless of how you might have felt emotionally or physically, when the anointing of God is upon you, you just as Saul, you change into another person, because it's the anointing of the Lord that gives strength and anointing. And for that period of time, you're being used of God. Every preacher knows what I'm talking about. There is an uplifting which is due to the anointing of the Holy Spirit flowing through the words that are being spoken, the message that is being given. And so we need God's anointing, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we are dealing with a very, he's clever, he knows human nature, he's been around a long time, and he's not as effective as the Holy Spirit, but he is a clever I can't even say that word, but someone that is working into military strategy. What would he do? If the joy of the Lord is our strength, he would do everything he could to affect the joy that we have in the Lord. Think about it. I mean, this is not rocket science. If you had an enemy and the joy of the Lord is their strength, well, then you're going to do everything you can to steal that joy, to make the saints of God focus on circumstances, on difficult battles, trials, things, the challenges that come up in our lives. We can't get away from them. There is no Christian life that is free from battles. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. He assured us of that. But he also said, don't be worried about that. Don't be oppressed. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world and everything that is in it. So we have the assurance from the very mouth of Jesus that we do not have to be oppressed. We don't have to walk around with a heavy spirit. We don't have to be in mourning in terms of what's going on in our life. I remember years and years ago, I received a prophetic word, and there's a time for mourning. There's a time for tears in prayer and intercession. But then you get up from that time and you can go about your day in the faith, knowing God has heard your prayers, your intercession, regardless of what the arena, whether it's on, in the nations of the world or loved ones, whatever, or your own personal needs, direction in God, and that God is going to give an answer. And that kind of faith, that kind of confidence, that is the evidence. What is faith? The evidence of things not hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you don't have them yet. That means they're coming. Sometimes we make our Christian walk so difficult. It's really quite simple. God had to keep it simple. The very message of Jesus' arrival, as I said, there's he came to simple folk. He came to the shepherds, who are one of the most despised of the working class in Israel. They were unclean. They were constantly dealing, with all that was involved in taking care of sheep. And so, yet God chose to have the angel give the message to those shepherds who were in the fields, and they went, they dropped what they were doing, they left their flocks, and they went to seek this newborn king who was bringing peace on earth, goodwill to men. Did it happen right away? Nope. It's been, worse, actually, since that time, in terms of the evil that has predominated in the world and in mankind and the sorrow and the suffering. Nonetheless, it is a future event, and it is coming. And so, beloved, that's the second thing I wanted to talk about. Yesterday, we talked about that the object of our joy is in the Lord. He alone can satisfy every desire of the human heart. But beloved, the second thing I want us to focus on today is that the joy we have as Christians is the joy of our salvation. God's part in salvation, Jesus accomplished it. He said, "It is finished." His work of redemption was to regenerate us, that we would be born again, our spirits. We would be brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and He would restore to us all the things the enemy has stolen from us. The most important thing is relationship with the living God. And then our part, you see, God is not going to do everything. He's given us His word. We have a part in everything, not only in our salvation. If you will hear me now, what's our part? The part our works are that we have to acknowledge, we have to repent, and we have to believe. It's that simple. And then we will go on in a process of maturing and growth and sanctification, which does not end until our last breath or until Jesus comes. And so in this broadcast, I just want to focus on the fact that there is great joy in the salvation of the Lord, and you can't understand it. I'm thinking of some dear friends I know, a couple of them men, and they have many giftings, many talents, very bright, but their intellectual arrogance, their inability to understand the simplicity of the gospel message is a stumbling block to them. That's why Jesus came to simple people, not many wise. Remember, that's what the scripture says, not many wise, not many mighty come to the Lord, because the way is narrow and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Why? Because you have to be willing to humble yourself. And I want us to look now at the very words of Jesus. There was an episode recorded in the Gospel of John, the third chapter. One of the teachers of Israel, Nicodemus, came, one of the Pharisees, and he had questions. He came to Jesus at night because he was being drawn by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't understand a lot of things. So he wanted to talk with Jesus, and he is coming to Jesus, and because Jesus told him he had to be born again. And I'm going to start reading at verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." This is Jesus speaking. And he compares the work of the Holy Spirit to the wind. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" This is fairly basic and simple, my dear man. He goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses," he's speaking now prophetically of himself, "lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," and of course the serpent is representative of sin, and Jesus took our sin upon him, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," speaking of his crucifixion, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that the message of the gospel, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation," listen to this, beloved, "that light is come into the world, and men, they didn't want it. They loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They didn't want to give it up. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Beloved, I believe there are some of you listening, some of you are in the condition of these friends of mine. They're wonderful, wonderful people, good people, but their mind is tripping them up. And I was the same way. You know, I was being drawn by the Holy Spirit, but I was just going to take this really slow. And I had a problem intellectually. I was up against a brick wall. I could not, with my mind, reasoning, and logic, not that there's not a place for wonderful Christian apologetics, but without faith, it's impossible to come to God. And I finally had to say, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And some of you are in a place you need the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And if you're willing to humble yourself and to ask God, that's a challenge He loves, and He will move in your life, and you will know of a fact. You may not be able to quote scripture, but you will know that you know everyone who is a Christian knows that they have met the person of truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in the moments that remain, if anyone is not taken that step to accept you as Lord and Savior, or there are those who have and they're backslidden, they've gone into the ways of the flesh, of the world, they're not where they should be. Come now. The Lord is inviting you by the Spirit of the Lord to come and humble yourself and to repent of your sins and come to the Lord, or return to the Lord, and in Him you will find the joy of salvation, the fact that God has called you one of His own, and that you will experience in the time to come fellowship with Him and eternal life. These are the very words and promises of Jesus. And so if you will accept Him, Lord, I just repent of my sins. I come to you. I know I'm a sinner. There's a lot I don't understand, but I ask you to come into my heart and save me and help me to experience what Sister Glass is talking about, the joy of salvation. Father, I release that now in the wonderful name of Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I ask that you share your mailing address so I can share some literature with you and that I can respond personally by way of a personal letter. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.